Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Things have been a little bit confused around here the past 5 days because I've had two visitors. I'm dog sitting for two chihuahuas that belong to a friend of mine. Chihuahuas that her husband refers to as the Mexican she-devils. I haven't found them quite that bad, but I have found them very interesting subjects to observe. And not only observing them, but also observing the way my animals respond to them. As chihuahuas go, both of them are very small. And because they belong to my friend, they both have problems. I don't mean that my friend creates problems in our dogs, but just that she's attracted to dogs with problems. So one of the dogs had a very tough life, was originally a breeding dog, and worse, in a poorly run breeding facility where the standard approach to barking dogs was to debark them. The other dog is more normal to some extent, except she only has one eye and she's hyper as hell. Having these dogs here has been exciting for the rest of us, or exciting relative to the usual laid-back quality of this house. My dogs usually only bark when somebody comes. Granted, for Ollie that means the cat, too. But still, I mean, it's pretty quiet around here, and I'm pretty quiet, too. So having dogs that bark pretty much at the drop of a hat is a change for us. But what's also interesting is that the debark dog barks. And when she barks, it sounds like a dog barking way in the distance. As you might expect, it took Ollie a couple days to realize what was going on. He would hear her bark, and he would immediately jump up on the deacon's bench or run to the French door and look out the window and start barking, thinking there was a dog out there somewhere. Once he realized that it was the dog inside the house, then he ignored her. The she-devils have spent most of their time in a large X-pen next to the wood stove. The reason for that is because although they are paper-trained, that's only true if every exposed inch of flooring is covered with paper. But they're happy there, and I'm happy they're there because they're so little, it would be really easy to lose them. They could disappear under a piece of furniture, or I could fall over them. So better they should stay in their X-pen, and then periodically through the day, we go outside for a bit, or I play with them outside the pen where I can keep an eye on them. Watching Bamboo the cat was also fascinating. It was as if he was trying to figure out whether they were predators or prey, or playmates. I'm not sure he ever solved that. But as a result, I would find him in very strange places studying them. His favorite, a complete new location for him, was to sit on top of the two rolled-up mats that I put between the wall and my refrigerator. It's a perfect space there. I'd say no more than 6 inches wide. Bam would somehow cram himself in there with his head facing out and periodically creep to the front of the mats and peer around the corner at the she-devils in the X-pen. Other times you get on top of the refrigerator and peer down at them. Sometimes it'd sneak up behind the wood stove and study them when they were sleeping. When we would be outside, sometimes he would crouch low on the chrysanthemums and observe them as they wandered around the yard, peeing on what seemed to me like every blade of grass. I don't think he ever solved the problem of what they were. The only message he seemed to get from them was that it was better that he just stayed out of their way, which I was happy to accept because always with these little dogs, you do wonder, you know, whether a cat that's used to hunting here in the house, keeping my house rodent-free, whether he would look at an animal who weighs maybe a little over 2 pounds and think, you know, that could be a rat, only it's a lot slower, but it makes a lot more noise. But that didn't seem to be what was running through his mind. He was more like a biologist who stumbles on a whole new species. Like, what is that? What do they do? Why do they make such funny noises? What are they about? This morning, the Mexican she-devils go home. I'll be glad to reclaim my house, but I'll kind of miss them too. Not that I'd ever want to have them full-time, but I can see the appeal, and particularly when you treat them like dogs, because then you can see that they are dogs. So it was nice to have visitors, but I imagine this evening after they're gone and the animals and I get back to our routine, I bet tonight the cat will materialize after being on duty for the last 5 days, making sure that everything was okay as much as it could be okay under the circumstances. And I suspect that the dogs will be where they normally are, which is with me, instead of sitting on the dog couch, perched on top of the pillow, and studying these individuals and trying to figure out, what about them? They don't play. They don't want to play with us. We get too close. One of them might do a little snarling. Got to admit, though, that canned food of theirs, we don't see much of that stuff around here. And canned food, that does have its appeal. And I wonder, do they run a cost-benefit analysis and say, canned food versus putting up with them, dry food versus having our own little house all to ourselves, having the woman all to ourselves, having the cat all to ourselves. I don't know. I don't know how they would resolve that equation. But I do know I'll miss the little devils. At the same time, I'll be glad to just be here with the usual residents in the little house on the hill.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.